Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Gentlemen, it's Friday. Welcome to another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. We're going to be going live right now, right before the hurricane. Well, excuse me, the blizzard. We have some big snow coming our way. I'm your host, Jonathan Raggis. Alongside me, as always, Mike McShane. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are we doing today, Jonathan? Big day here on Fan Junkies Radio.
It's always a big day on Fan Junkies Radio, Mike.
It is, but this one's bigger than usual.
Why, because of the blizzard?
It's somebody's birthday.
Who's that?
And I want everybody out there, all of our listeners out there, to call in 347-237-5373 at some point in the hour, and you got to wish Jonathan a very happy birthday.
Yes, it is my birthday. I'm getting old, Mike.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. And it's Friday, so that's always fun, having a birthday on a Friday.
Birthday on a Friday before a major blizzard.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know what? I was born during the big blizzard in 83. Couldn't come home for almost a week. So,
is that right?
Yeah, it's only fitting. Yeah.
Wow. I remember that storm. That was I won't mention where I was because that would give my age away. I remember that storm, though, quite well.
Were you at the disco, Mike? Disco, come on, man.
Actually, kind of close. I'll tell the truth. I'll tell the truth.
You were at the rink.
That would have been my final semester in college. I remember that story very, very well. That was my final semester in college.
Wow, look at that, man.
Yep.
Look at that. Well, it's going to be fun. That definitely going to be fun. Got some good celebrations for later on. But before we do that, we have to say we're going to be joined by former MLB catcher Kelly Stinnett.
Yes.
For many, many teams in Major League Baseball, from the Phillies to the Yankees to the Mets to the Royals to the Diamondbacks,
yep.
You name it, he played for him. He's going to be joining us at around the 12:15 mark. We're going to be talking about Kelly's career, what Kelly's doing now. We're going to be talking a little current MLB, and we're also going to get Kelly's opinion on who he thinks is the best catcher in Major League Baseball today.
Yeah, I mean, and this has all been part of our MLB week leading into spring training.
Yes, and it's been a very, very successful MLB week. On Monday, we were joined by former Phillies and Mets outfielder Eric Valente. On Wednesday, we had our very own Jim Williams join us with Frank Close from Philadelphia.com. And now today, another former MLB player joining us. It's been great so far.
It really has. This is a lot of fun. I like doing these kinds of weeks.
Yes.
So, we're going to be looking at doing more of these in the future.
Oh, absolutely. NBA week, NHL week. MMA week, NFL week, you name it, we're going to be doing it. So
got NASCAR week coming up in 2 weeks.
NASCAR week coming up, and I know you're happy about that, Mike.
I am. I'm excited. I'm stoked for that one.
Okay. Well, here we go. Before we get into baseball, we got to talk a little bit of hockey here. We'll get to hockey after baseball as well and talk standings and talk about some of the good games this weekend coming up. But we continue to do our hat trick challenge at hattrick.nhl.com. And so far, no hat tricks for Mike or myself. Since we started this contest last week, we did finally make a league, though. Fan Junkies Radio is the name of the league. So if you want to join up and see if you can get some hat tricks over Mike and myself, join it up. It's Fan Junkies Radio. Just go over to hattrick.nhl.com, register, join our league, and be a part of it.
Yep, Fan Junkies Radio. Yeah, it wouldn't be too difficult for people to beat us.
No, it wouldn't be. It really wouldn't be. But we got one game on the bill tonight, Mike.
One game, that's all there is. I was just saying, we were saying pre-show, shortened season. How in the world did that happen? There's only one game on the schedule.
Exactly. I don't know how it happened, but it's happened. It's Friday night, one game at a bill. So let's go through our hat trick challenge questions right now, Mike,
and
see which one of us is going to be picking the right answer.
Gotcha.
First question, will Jaromir Jagr register at least 1 point for the Dallas Stars against the Anaheim Ducks tonight, yes or no?
I'm answering no.
I'm answering yes.
Ah.
Which team will win between the Anaheim Ducks and the Dallas Stars?
And I am picking the Ducks.
I am picking the Ducks as well. Third question, Will Anaheim score a power play goal tonight? Yes or no?
And I had pointed out to you, I think they've got like the fifth best power play in the entire league, and I'm answering yes.
I'm answering yes as well. So we'll see if we can get a hat trick there, man.
We're the same on two and differ on one. Okay.
It's going to come down to one question, Mike.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. Okay, so we got that out of the way, Mike.
Yeah.
The mic is yours. Let's talk a little NCAA real quick.
Well, I mean, in light of the fact, I think we've been, Monday, I think perhaps maybe I gave a little NCAA update. I gave the standings. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer now to the end of the season. We get into, we'll have conference tournaments coming up in 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks, actually, and then 2 weeks thereafter we'll have the big NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
So right now standings are becoming more and more imperative and important. Number one, Indiana last night was knocked off by Illinois, and a close one. It was 74-72. And this is going to be interesting because I can imagine that when the standings come back out again on Monday, we're going to see quite a bit of changing going on. As we saw that I think Michigan lost the other night. They were ranked number three. Now you got Indiana losing here. So it's going to be very, very interesting. I don't know if that's going to put Florida up at the top or not, but it's going to make for a very interesting situation. So I thought I would throw that quick update out there that Indiana, in fact, lost last night in a very close one to Illinois. The other thing that I thought was rather interesting, Jonathan, I just thought I'd throw it out there, excuse me, just as kind of a point of reference. The highest scoring player so far right now in Division I this year,
mm-hmm.
Nate Walters, last night scored 53 points in one game and his win taking South Dakota State 80-74 over IPFW in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The kid was 9 for 14 from beyond the arc. He had 9. I think he set a record last night of 9 three-pointers. 17
That's insane.
For 28. Yeah, it was. 17 for 28 overall, 10 for 11 at the free throw line. So he scored 53 points, and right now that is the most points scored by any single Division I player so far this season. And it was interesting because I was saying to you that it was a couple of weeks ago we had brought up the 138-point performance of Jack Taylor over there at Grinnell College. But that's a Division III school. So that 138-point performance, you know, that doesn't count, obviously, in Division I standings. But 53 right now is the total in Division I. It was very funny because after the game, they asked Walters whether he'd be willing to go in a one-on-one game, do a horse game with he and Jack Taylor, who scored the 138 points, and he said, "Bring him on."
Wow! And what'd you say, 9 for 9 from three-point land?
9 for 14.
9 for 14. Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty insane.
It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's definitely impressive. All right, Mike. You know, anything else big we can expect from NCAA or not?
Well, no, but I think, as I said, I think probably what I should probably do, I'll come back in on Monday because the new standings will be out at that point, and I'll just give you a real quick rundown on where things stand at that point for all you folks out there like myself that are NCAA basketball crazy, and I am. I love the stuff.
Yeah, I just can't get into it, man. Still can't.
Oh, I love it.
After all these years, I can't do it, man.
I really think, Jonathan, a lot of it has to do with the fact that I came exclusively from a basketball school. We did not have a football program at the college that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that influence of coming from an exclusive inner-city basketball school as I did, I think has really been the difference in that. And, you know, it's been an influence in my life, you know, since I was a young adult.
Yeah. I used to watch it a little bit when I was a lot younger. Now I just, for some reason, I just don't watch it as much anymore. And I you know, once in a while I catch some of the big games that I know is going to be something, you know, really special,
right.
You know, between a number one and a number two team or something like that. But I just, I don't know. There's something about a lack of interest for me in it. So.
Well, you know, I know that you are, you know, I know you're a big NBA fan. And we've kind of had this conversation before. You know, I don't get into the NBA as much. To me,
yeah.
NCAA basketball is really the purest form of basketball you're going to see. It's a team sport. You know, and it's the old adage, and I guess I've become kind of tired of it. We've talked about it so many times with some of the prima donna players in the NBA. You know, there's no I in team. And that's, you know, you see so much prima donna nonsense in the NBA, you don't see that in the NCAA, and that's, I think, why I like it so much.
Yeah, I hear that, man. But if you really want to see the purest form of basketball, Mike,
yeah,
got to take it to some of my old stomping grounds, the Brooklyn and Queens playgrounds, man. Street ball.
Oh,
that's where it is, man. Purest form.
I hear you. I hear you. And
Nate Bellamy, who we had on here, Chucky Brown, you know, all Queens products, man, they could tell you that.
And I used to love it when – I loved Olympic basketball when it was just all amateurs.
I agree. You know what? I'm with you on that, and I think they really need to get back that way.
I think it was terrific. It was terrific to watch. And I mean,
yeah.
You know, I don't know why the U.S. felt the need that they had to make that change, because when it came right down to it, we were dominant.
Mm-hmm.
With amateurs. Because
yeah.
Basketball is an American sport. Let's get it straight.
It is. It is. And they will get back that way eventually, Mike.
Yeah,
and I hope. And we look forward to it. So.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right, now it's time for a little bit of baseball. Before we get to Kelly Stinnett joining us, let's talk a little bit about the report from yesterday. AP reporting that Felix Hernandez and the Seattle Mariners were working on a $175 million 7-year contract, Mike, that would make him the highest paid pitcher in baseball. My question to you, though, is Felix Hernandez the best pitcher in baseball? Should he be the highest paid pitcher in baseball?
Well, there's no doubt about it. You've got you're not paying $175 million for you know, a slacker here.
Mm-hmm. But it is the Mariners.
The question I ask is anybody worth $175 million? This has gotten out of control. You know, when I first read the story last night, and you know, I've got the one that you sent over to me here this morning, but I did read it as well last night on a different site. And they took a somewhat different slant to it, Jonathan. The Yahoo article I've got here doesn't take quite the same slant. The slant that I read last night was, are we just a matter of time before we see a $200 million pitcher? And you got to ask, really? Is anybody worth $200 million? It really has kind of gotten a little bit out of hand. That's my point.
You're only $25 million short of it now, Mike.
I hear you.
With this kind of money, $25 million is absolutely nothing. So eventually, you're going to see a $200 million pitcher.
I hear you. Let me ask you a question: is Felix Hernandez worth $175 million?
No, I don't think any professional athlete is worth $175 million. In their standards, though, I think Felix Hernandez is probably top five in pitching. If I were a GM and I had to give somebody a $175 million contract, I would probably give it to Justin Verlander before I would give it to Felix Hernandez.
Yep.
That's my opinion. To me, I think Justin Verlander is the best pitcher in baseball and has proven it for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I'm just looking through this. Hernandez's total dollars would top CeCe Sabathia's original $161 million 7-year contract with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
CeCe Sabathia is not worth $161 million.
No, he's not. He's a very good pitcher. A couple of years ago, maybe he was in the top 10, but I don't think.
I agree.
Yeah, you know.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
All right. I anticipate the same thing. Help me out here, too. How old? What's Hernandez's age?
Oh, I can't even tell you that off the top of my head. I think
I don't have his numbers.
He's just about to turn 30, but I could be wrong. Let me check right now. He's actually 26.
26, so he'd be 33 when this contract expires. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So he'd still most likely be healthy. So
it's not a reach, I guess.
But now look at next offseason and the offseason after that. You got Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, David Price, all three looking for contracts. With this being $175 million, you have to think that either Verlander or Clayton Kershaw is going to probably be your first near or at $200 million pitcher.
Yeah, you're going to be getting into the $200 million range for sure. There's no doubt about it.
So, right?
No doubt about it.
I mean, I would...
And again, you know, where does it stop? I mean, it's just, to me, it's a little bit insane.
A little bit insane? It's a lot of bit insane.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I said it years ago. You know, I don't think these athletes are worth that much money. I mean, they're phenomenal talents. We love them. We root for them. But $175 million to me for 7 years is a joke. Most people wouldn't make $175 million in their entire lifetime. So that's, you know, basically saying our lifetimes are worthless. You know, it sucks, man.
Wow. It's I don't know. Well, you know, look, good for Seattle, I suppose, if they're happy with that. I'm going to be honest with you. If that were the Phils and they signed Cole Hamels to something like that, I don't think I'd be very happy. I'm going to be honest.
No, I wouldn't be happy at all if the Mets did that with somebody down the line, you know, being Zach Wheeler. Whatever. You know, it comes to the point where, okay, we know you want to keep them. We know you want to obtain them and not let them go to a rival or another team. But still, $175 million, you know, that's insane.
Yeah.
You know, that's not even most team salary caps anymore. It's awful, man. It's awful.
You got it. That's a great point.
You know what? When you look at the NHL, their salary cap is in between, you know, $40 and $60 million per season that they're always hankering over.
Right.
And then you look at this one guy, $175 million. I mean, you know, Alex Rodriguez, $27.5 million right there. You take A-Rod, put him up against an NHL team, he would go damn near 50% of the salary cap.
Yeah, I was going to say the rest of your team would be made up of high schoolers.
You know what? I think you would have to go younger than that.
Because you wouldn't be able to afford anything else. I mean, that's...
You know, if, it's just insane, Mike. I don't know what to say about it.
Obviously, it's all relative. I mean, we're talking about baseball versus the NHL. Nonetheless, you and I've talked about this too many times, too. You know, the fans just don't have a voice. Or if we do, we don't express it enough, or we don't do it in the right ways. And it's not going to end until the fans actually put their foot down.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think that's ever going to happen, though?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. You know, we're talking about entertainment. And we start talking about personal entertainment, you know, we seem to have, and look, I'm as guilty of it as anybody else, don't get me wrong, but we have a tendency to look the other way, you know? Oh, okay, it's not my money, it's their money, let them do. But see, what we fail to realize is it's not always just their money.
Yeah.
Where are they getting their money from? They're getting it from us.
Well, of course they're getting it from us. I mean, where else is it coming from?
Yeah, yeah, but I hear that argument made so many times, you know. I'll give you a perfect example. I mean, the decision was just had to be made here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Were you going to sign, or are we going to keep Michael Vick or not? Now, Michael Vick had I forget what the deadline was, February 6th or February 5th or something, deadline for a $3 million signing bonus, and the Eagles signed it. Now, everybody's speculating, oh, okay, I guess Michael Vick's going to be back. Well, no, I don't know if that's necessarily true. It might be that they're just trying to buy some time. But in the meantime, they've just wasted $3 million. And I hear so many people say, well, it's not my money. Well, hell, it's not.
Of course it's your money.
Listen, $3 million, that's $3 million from the fans that you just gave away. And if you don't keep the guy, you're essentially just giving him $3 million to go away.
Yeah. It's a shame, Mike.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's continue with the baseball trend and bring our guest in. As right now we're being joined by former MLB catcher Kelly Stinnett. Kelly, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, Kelly. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
So let's, you know, continue with the trend. On Monday, we had former Mets and Phillies outfielder Eric Valente, somebody you were traded for, Kelly, so it just kind of worked out that way. It was pretty cool.
I know, that's crazy, man. I saw that on the email you guys sent me. I'm like, holy cow, this is a small world.
You know, Eric's a good friend of mine. I've known him for quite a few years now, so I said, you know what, let's get Eric on and let's see who else we can get. We found you, and we asked you, and you were, you know, very happy to do it, and we're very happy that you agreed to do it, and all of a sudden we just put two and two together. We're like, wow, look at that, man, small world.
Exactly.
Pretty funny. So let's talk a little bit about your career first before we get into some current MLB and also, and then we'll talk about what you're doing these days. You played for 8 MLB teams in your career, Kelly. What was the best stop that you had in your 14-year career?
Well, I mean, it's obviously where I'm at now. You know, I live in Arizona, 98, getting taken in expansion draft for the Dick D-backs was a blessing. Family moved here, and you know, we made it a home ever since. Mr. Colangelo, I mean, it was a great atmosphere, family atmosphere. Not that you wouldn't be happy to go to ballpark being in the big league, but he made it really, as a pleasure going to ballpark, knowing you're going to, '98, we struggled a little bit, but then he brought all the pieces of Stottlemyres, the Johnsons, all those guys on board that kind of put us up on top in '99.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just, it was just a great atmosphere. Family, kids, everybody running around like crazy. You didn't have to you know, worry about anything. He took care of everything. So that was, it was great.
That's cool. You know, does it bug you a little bit, though, that, you know, you left right before they hit that World Series?
Yeah.
I mean, I had three great years in Cincinnati after that. So, you know, it's, you know, that's why I tell my kids now that I worked out. I say, hey, guys, I still got a lot of work to do, man. I still want to get a World Series ring, you know, so I'm just kind of keep my brain sharp with the baseball knowledge and, you know, hopefully get back into it and become a coach or a manager down the road.
I had heard, Kelly, that Randy Johnson had a tremendous, I mean, very hard throw. What was it like to catch for him?
Well, I mean,
I heard it was powerful.
It was quick.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 100-101 from the left side. You got 6'10", so, you know, he's got that extra wingspan that gets on you a lot quicker.
Right.
You know, that's why guys started cheating on him, trying to get that fastball. And he threw that slider that was down and in. I mean, it was
right.
When he was on, it was unhittable. You know, and obviously Randy, you know, I caught him with the Yankees. You know, I give from 101 to 92, you know, it seems like a lot. He's still throwing hard, but then, you know, everybody started catching up with him a little bit then. But, you know, when he was on, you know, at 99 to 101, I mean, that was, it was unhittable.
How much of his game were you calling, or was he pretty much calling it?
Well, I mean, it was, his game was simple. You know, you throw hard in.
Yep.
Throw that slider down at the end. And then later on, he started developing a little bit of two-seamers because for some reason, which was crazy, there's a couple lefties in the league, you know, like a Sean Green or even Olerud back in the day. He had trouble getting out. Well, they just stayed on the other way, you know. So he started developing that two-seamer, you know, starting middle of the plate, let it run into lefties. Plus, you know, what was crazy, nobody ever realized it. There were some guys that play, you know, he, out of the windup, he pretty much tipped every pitch. So some of those guys, like Sean Green, all the really smart guys, they knew every pitch that was coming. But then when he switched that little two-seamer, they're looking for a straight fastball and start throwing that, had that little movement in there. Then it kind of, you know, made the plan feel a little bit more even for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Was he one of the toughest catchers that you had to catch for?
With the pitchers, he was pretty much one-sided. So we stayed on the, you know, end to righties. Everything was right there. Just cleared out the left knee and, you know, he was on. I mean, he wouldn't have missed 2 or 3 inches in the plate every single time, and he was pretty much there for the most part, and just threw that slider down and in. He'd let one fly every now and then that you have to jump up, but, you know, overall he wasn't that tough. You know, we're probably one of the toughest guys. You know, I know the Yankees who lived off of him was young Kim. I mean, he was a nightmare to catch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a nightmare to a lot of opposing teams trying to bat against him. I know that for sure.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now, Kelly. You know, Mike and I, we had a chance to go onto your website today, kellystinettbaseball.com. We had a chance to look at everything you got going here with the Steve Sachs Coaching Clinic, the batting cages down there and all the cool camps that you're doing. What drove you into all of that?
Well, I just want to be more involved with my kids, you know, obviously. You know, traveling all these years and being away. My oldest is a senior this year, and I got a 13, 14, and then, you know, had a little surprise later in life, which is a blessing. You little 4-year-old running around the house here. you know, I just want to stay in the game and work with my boys. You know, what's crazy now is I got them involved with other coaches, other levels, and I kind of run an older group and a younger group. You know, we're just doing travel baseball. We're reaching out to the community. I just got my 501c3. Up and running on Monday, so we're nonprofit. We don't turn anybody away. We want, you know, this area here in Mesa, Gilbert, Chandler here in Arizona. We want to build it up. I mean, shoot, baseball is year round here. We just take 2 months off, July and August. That's too damn hot to be outside. But besides that, I mean, we're going year round. You know, we just want to develop kids. We want to have fun, come out and have fun at a higher level.
Right.
Not that there's anything against Little League, but I did Little League a couple of years, pretty much just babysitting. We want to challenge the kids, you know, get them to, everybody says, the next level, whatever that is, you know, college, pros, whatever. But we want to give them the opportunity, you know, and a lot of kids don't have that opportunity. You don't have the training. You don't have the coaching. Well, we have it now.
Is there a chance that we see any of these programs, you know, go around the U.S., or is that going to, you know, strictly stay down there in Arizona?
Well, I mean, we have a tournament every weekend. Like tomorrow, I got 6 teams playing here within 3 miles of where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't have to travel around. We want to. We want to do the. We will start. You know, we will do the Cooperstown tournaments.
Okay.
You know, I hear nothing but great things. I know Luis Gonzalez gone out there a couple times, and I've trained his kids to go out there. And you know, we do want to become more nationally recognized. But shoot, right now we're playing tournaments here every weekend, so there's not much of a need. Plus, you can keep the cost down.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Just from looking at the February events, man, you got your hands full down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we go hard until it gets hot. You know, right around middle of June, we start kind of shutting it down. But up until then, it's every weekend, and spring break is going to be crazy here. We'll have, you know, doubleheaders every day. We just, you know, get on the field. It's going to be about 85, 90 degrees. We'll play baseball every day.
And how long have you been doing this, Kelly?
Full time. I was dabbling in it when I stopped playing in 07. So yep. I just coached my two kids for a few years, and then managed the D-backs thing, rookie ball for a while, didn't quite work out. So I said, well, shoot, I'm going to do this full time. So it's been about a little over a year now that I've been doing this full time. Well, it was crazy. First worked out in September of, 2011. I had five kids at a tryout. Now I got 10 teams, you know,
wow.
10-plus kids on each team. So we're rocking and rolling.
That's tremendous. Congratulations. That's really great stuff.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you said before. I know you kind of mentioned that you would like to get back into some coaching, maybe get up into the big leagues again, and maybe even one day become a manager. What's your dream team to manage?
Shoot. Who wouldn't want to manage the Yankees, man? I mean, you get the pinstripes, you got, you know, it seems like they're starting to cut back a little bit on the money, but you pretty much have an unlimited payroll. I love New York. I love the fans up there. You know, I have my good times and bad times up there, but you know, that'd be a place, either side, you know, Mets or Yankees. I think that's anybody's dream job to be a manager is to manage in New York and be successful in New York. Obviously, you don't want to fail in New York, but, you know, if you get there, you work hard, you know, you get the blue-collar fans behind you and you bust your butt, I think they'll back any guy like that.
Absolutely. That's well, listen, man, we loved you at Shea, man, so we'd love to see you, you know, back at the Mets one day. That'd be great.
Keep my resumes. I keep knocking on doors. So you know, it's always a process when you try to get back into something and try to. Hey, you know, I still have the passion for it.
That's great.
On Wednesday, Kelly, because we've been doing a whole MLB week, as Jonathan pointed out. On Wednesday, we had a panel on of analysts, and we talked. We broke the entire league down for a full hour, and we talked about each division and what have you. Obviously, you're following the game. Any surprises you see coming up here? How would you break down what we have coming up this season?
You know, as much as I like to say I'm following a game, I kind of, you know, my peak hours are, you know, 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. You know, I cover the National League West a little bit just because the Diamondbacks are here, and you know, I like the things that they've done. I mean, pitching wise, shoot, I mean they've shortened the game a lot. With getting Bell and keeping the closer from last year, I can't remember his name, the big guy. Anyway, that they've got sixth, seventh, eighth inning covered. So if you get a starter to give them that, you know, give them that five, six innings,
right?
I feel they're gonna be right back in it. And you know, playing for you know Kirk Gibson, just he's unbelievable to watch. And you know, I got to talk to him a little bit when I was over there, and he's an animal, man. So I see them being right in the mix of things, even with the Giants, what they did last year. You know, they're going to be more of a scrappy team, which I think that's kind of the mold of what Givi's going to be as a manager this year. So I really like what they did.
Yeah, they definitely got a nice team. One of the things that kind of, you know, hit me in the mind a little bit and said, why would you do that, was getting rid of Trevor Bauer. So we still can't figure out why they got rid of him.
From what I understand, I mean, he's just kind of in a nice way, kind of a nutcase, I guess, as a pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, obviously when you're throwing that hard for five or six innings, that's tough to give away.
Yeah.
You know, you see the same thing with Matt Scherzer whenever they traded him to Detroit. I mean, you know, why would you trade this guy? And you know, that guy's throwing, you know, 98 to 100 for seven straight innings. you know, I guess it's some of the gambles you take in baseball to try to make your team better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Detroit's happy that the D-backs traded Scherzer, that's for sure, man, making them one of the best patients, you know.
Sticking with the West, though, let me ask you a question, Kelly. I'll put you on the spot here for a moment. Who would be the team to beat there in the West? Dodgers, Giants, who?
Well, I mean, in my mind, everybody tries to go out and buy a pennant. It doesn't really work that much.
Gotcha.
You know, and that's kind of what I'm seeing with the Dodgers. You know, they're spending all this money. Well, is there going to be, you know, how's the clubhouse going to be? Are these guys going to get along? You know, you got three hole hitters. Are everybody going to be happy where they're going to get in a lineup? You know, is Donnie going to be able to control all the guys? You know, he's a pretty much laid-back guy. Runs them out there, you know, playing, you know, being with Torrey for all those years. I mean, that's all Joe did was just, hey, write a lineup and go play. You know, it's a little different with some of these younger guys that are making all that money.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you gotta press them a little bit and challenge them. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. I hope he does. You know, he's a great guy. Great. You know, he's doing a good job. But you know, Giants. You know, you got to beat them again. That's you know, you got that pitching staff and pretty good bullpen there as well. You know, I don't know if they're going to be able to swing it, but you know, one to nothing games and you win them. You know,
yeah,
it's still a win. So, you know, still think you got to knock them off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, as you see, we like to put people under the gun here. We did it on Wednesday with our guests. We did it with Eric Berlin as well. It's a lot of fun. So, seriously, just, you know, right off the top of your head, Kelly, pick one NL team, pick one AL team. Who's going to the World Series in your mind this year?
Oh, shoot. you know, I... The birds of the bat, they're always intriguing. You know, you got Matheny there. I always like the Cardinals.
Uh-huh.
Some reason that they get it done. I mean, it just, you know, they got Band-Aids and they stick them on people and they throw them back out there on the field. You know, they do a great job. And you know, I played there for 2 or 3 months, loved it there. You know, it's just they're always in it, you know, no matter what.
Yeah.
So they find a way to win. So I always like the Cardinals. American League, you know, it's just tough to beat the Yankees. I mean, just no matter what, if A-Rod's in or out, it doesn't really matter. They're going to go find somebody to play third base.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jeter comes back healthy, you know, to anchor that team and lead them, you know. And I really see Cano learning from his postseason experience. I think he's got something to prove again, you know, and that pitching staff, you know, you're going to be fine there. So, you know, you can't ever beat the Pinstripes as well. So I see kind of the Cardinals-Yankees, you know, in October.
That's cool. I know, Mike, who did you pick on Wednesday, Mike?
Well, I know I had – hold on. I got it written down here. I just wanted to let Kelly know. I wrote him down, too. So we've got that one written down. So if that comes to pass there, Kelly, we're going to be back on your line.
All right. Very nice.
No, I had the Angels and the Nationals. I had Anaheim and Washington.
Okay, I know I had Detroit and Cincinnati, okay. So it's nice that everybody's picking different things
here.
Yeah,
we're picking real different. And Kelly's out of the box. I mean, he's out of the box. I don't think anybody
on
Wednesday.
Well, you understand. I mean, Monday through Friday, I'm in the cage. I'm going in there working, cleaning up, patching holes in my nets, you know, doing all that. I'm kind of a one-man show running all this. And I love it, you know, but I'm in a cage from 3:30 to 9 o'clock at night working with hitters, working with catchers. So
the only thing
I read is when I get a break to watch, I check on my check the updates and transactions on ESPN on my phone. That's pretty much the only updates I get here lately. But hopefully it'll slow down, get some more guys working for me, and then I'll be able to pay more attention.
But Kelly, let me throw one at you, and I'm thrilled to hear that you're working with so many young people. And there's a reason I'm going to bring this one up. We just had the story come out last week, and here we go again with PED usage. We got the clinic down there in Florida, and I don't even think at this point yet we've scratched the surface on what this might all mean. You played at the height of the steroid era. I guess really the big height of it, I guess, was 98, 99, somewhere in there, the year that McGuire hit 70 home runs.
Yeah.
First of all, I guess the question I would ask you is this. Going back to that era, how prevalent was it to you as a player? That's number one. Number two, how do you feel about what's happening right now? And then number three, how are we dealing with it with the young people today?
Well, I think it's kind of with the young people, you know, we emphasize, hey, just, you know, you're right, get your workouts in. You know, it's kind of a joke sometimes now to young guys. So, you know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But hopefully it's like, okay, it's a joke to where I'm not going to do that. You know, when I played, it was more, you know, you knew who was taken. You kind of, well, you say, you know, you kind of, okay, I think he's doing it, what have you. You know, it was one of those things, you know, you just go about your business. I knew I wasn't doing it. I just worked my butt off 6 o'clock every morning going lifting weights. Probably wouldn't be talking to you now if I did, because, you know, I'd be off in a desert island somewhere because they hit 40 or 50 home runs every year, you know, instead of my 10 to 15. But, you know, that's the choices we make. You know, I like the direction they're going, you know, clean it up. You know, I think there ought to be stiffer penalties now. You know, what's, you know, one time, you know, two times, whatever, you know, we need to make it a little stiffer, and we need to penalize these guys down the road too. Like, you know, I'm a couple years away from collecting my pension. You know, we need to hit these guys down the road, you know, further. Because you get away with it, you know, like Melky got that big deal for Toronto. I mean, that's a joke, really, in my mind. You know, he got busted, now he's in this thing, and he got $17 million for having one good year. I mean, that's, you know, to some of the guys that bust their butt every day and done it the right way, that's not fair, because he's taking money out of somebody else's pocket that did it the right way. So that's one thing that irritates me as a former player and current, you know, just a fan of the game. You know, why let this guy keep going? Let's do something to these guys down the road to, you know, take money out of their pocket. You know, penalize them, because, you know, obviously you look back all the catches that done it, you know, it irritates me as well, because I know these guys took money out of my pocket, you know, during my playing days. So, but you live with it, you deal with it, and you just keep plugging along.
You know, I know that there's a bit of a fraternity that goes on with players and former players. Let me ask you with regard to, say, Hall of Fame status. You know, we're seeing the influence right now this year on the whole steroid era and how that's influenced the Hall of Fame. Should some of these guys just not be, when you talk about penalties and what have you, should the penalties be that you just can't get into the Hall?
I mean, that could be one. That would be a great one right there. And like you said, you see it this year. You know, anybody with any kind of tainted playing career or associated or that was verbally say, hey, I did them. You know, keep them out. You know, it's just a cut and dry thing. Just no. You know, you did it. You don't go to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, Mike, you know what? We said it ourselves, you know, to us, with this Hall of Fame ballot this year, the guys being on it that were on it, the Maguires, the Bonds, the Palmeros, they squeezed a lot of votes away from guys like Fred McGriff, Dale Murphy, guys that should have got in this season. You know?
Absolutely.
So it's a real shame.
Exactly.
Really is a real shame. All right,
Unfortunately, a trickle-down effect.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's hurting a lot of people that deserve to be in there, you know, and especially, like Kelly said, it hurt a lot of people that deserve to make some type of money, and it's taking it out of their pockets. It's a real shame.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, why not just don't even put the names on the ballot anymore? I mean, you said there's a trickle-down effect. Let's just not even put them on there, and that way the voters are focused on the guys that did it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any kind of evidence that you've done it or you admitted to doing it, just nix you off the ballot and let's move on.
Well, let me say this to you, Kelly. From a fan perspective and from an analyst perspective, somebody in the media, I appreciate your refreshing response to that as a former player. I'm concerned sometimes when I bring these types of issues up to former players that, again, like I said, there's that kind of fraternity where everybody's just going to back everybody, and I appreciate you being honest on it.
Well, I mean, you try. I mean, just like I tell the kids every day, I said, hey, I'm gonna give my honest opinion, my honest evaluation of you, because I want you to get better, you know. And there's no, you know, everybody knows by now who had a pretty good idea of who juiced during those days. So, you know, it's kind of cut and dry. And, you know, maybe you call me a bitter old guy. I mean, you have, I guess, let the fans get around Reggie Jackson and some of those guys that played. You're talking about guys that, you know, will lay it on the line and let you know what they think. You know, you got to respect that. And that, right. That's where I want to be is, hey, you know, this is the way it is. Let's do it this way. Let's clean it up and get it going right. That way, you know, we don't have to worry about this down the road. My kids don't have to worry about this when they start, you know, getting to that age where they have a chance to play at that level.
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah, really refreshing. Anyway. Kelly, seriously, man, you know, thank you so much for, you know, not only joining us today, but, you know, telling us and saying the comments that you said today. It's really nice to hear a former professional athlete come out and say stuff like that, because that's stuff that we need to hear, and it's stuff that we're not hearing on an everyday basis, unfortunately.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
It really
No,
is.
I mean, yeah, obviously during the years, I mean, it's not, you know, you've had a lot of great teammates. You've been in a lot of battles or a lot of games with these guys, and you know, you respect them on the field and all that stuff, but, you know, the way you go about it, you know, it's, you know, you choose your path, and if you did it the wrong way, you should pay. If you did it the right way, you know, you should be somewhat rewarded. So that's just the way I see it.
Great, great, awesome. Well, Kelly, seriously, thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time out of your schedule. I know you probably could have been patching some holes in nets today instead of talking to us.
No, I appreciate you guys giving me a break. I appreciate it. No.
we thank you for being on.
Hey, no problem, guys. Anytime, just let me know what I can do for you guys in the future.
That's great.
Same for you, man. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Unbelievable, man. Just comments that really just ring out when you hear them, you know.
Can I tell you, I'm sitting here, and when he made some of the comments that he did, my jaw's almost dropping.
Yeah.
Because as I pointed out, and I don't want anybody to get the impression that, you know, I was kissing his tail or anything. I wasn't. I'm truly amazed that the guy was being as forthcoming and as honest as he was, because the thing that you hear so often is that fraternity kind of speak that goes on amongst the players. It doesn't matter whether you were a clean player or a guy that was, as he's saying, juicing. They all seem to have each other's back.
Yeah,
and God bless him for being straight up about it. I think it's terrific.
Well, what we got from Kelly Stinnett today on Fan Junkies Radio is what we got from Kelly Stinnett in his 14-year Major League Baseball career, and that was real.
Honesty.
Yeah, it was honesty. It was real. It was hardworking, legit play. And what you had here today was hardworking, legit comments coming out of a clean player. And it's just, as you said, Mike, refreshing to hear that.
Absolutely.
Stuff coming out of a former Major League Baseball player. And you know what? We're not going to knock other players that we had on the air. You know, they spoke out against it as well. But, you know, when you hear their comments, sounds more like a, you know, like a PR guy was kind of writing it for them. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Yeah, so to hear it come straight from, you know, Kelly Stinnett's, you know, mouth was just, you know, great. And seriously, to the hundreds to thousands of listeners listening in today and that are going to listen into the archived recording of it, this is a little bit of history today, you know, to hear that coming from a player. And you know what? We can't thank Kelly, you know, Stinnett enough for joining us today. And once again, you can check out KellyStinnettBaseball.com. If you live in the Arizona area, take your kid, man, enroll him in this guy's classes, man. Let him teach them how to play the game of baseball, and that's the correct way.
The clean way, the clean way.
The clean, correct way. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I echo exactly what you just said there. You are not going to hear, folks, you are not going to hear too many former players put it as straight out as Kelly just did there. So I'm just really, really impressed.
Yeah, yeah, it was a, you know, definitely a great interview, definitely great to talk to Kelly. Like I say, you know what, man, it's always fun when you look at these guys playing in the field years ago, and, you know what, you never think you're going to have any kind of contact with them, Mike. You bring them on, you learn about the person that they are, and,
yep.
You know, for Kelly Stinnett, that's a total class act.
Absolutely.
So, all right, well.
And I got his pick written down, so we'll have to get back in touch with him when the Cards and the Yankees are playing in October.
Absolutely. No, I think we're going to have to do a little bit of an MLB roundtable soon.
Absolutely. We'll get Kelly in on that one.
Yeah, so we're going to have to, you know what, I mean, we're actually going to have to hire somebody for him, man, so they can patch up the Nets for him so you can look at some of the standings and look at some of the transactions, man. But that's great that he's the one running that, you know,
yep.
All by himself and doing all that work. Phenomenal. So,
yep.
You know, phenomenal. All right, Mike, let's talk a little bit about basketball. I know as I was sleeping during the night, I'm sure you were up late, as usual, doing 5 minutes at the frat house and getting it ready for its YouTube debut on Fridays.
Correct.
You sent me an article. It was late at night, and, you know me, I was, you know, counting sheep.
Uh-huh.
some rest. And here's what we got here, that Dwight Howard returned from a shoulder injury last night. We love to talk about the Lakers here because the Lakers are just a mess. And, you know, when you have these high and mighty teams that talk a lot of trash and, you know, spend a lot of money, it's really nice to see them be human, you know?
It's kind of like our daily fix of soap operas.
Yeah. It is. It really is. So basically,
it's a male version of soap operas. Let's get it straight.
So as the Lakers turn, that's, you know,
yeah, exactly.
That's going to be the name of our segments for now and every time we talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. But you sent me an article that says Dwight Howard fired back at Kobe Bryant right before he played last night. Kobe Bryant threw out some comments about the team needing some urgency. He's not going to talk about injuries, but they need to have some urgencies, and guys like Dwight Howard need to get back. Dwight Howard fired off. From what you read, Mike, what's going on, man, in LA?
You know, here we go again. I mean, who's running this damn team, all right? Is Kobe Bryant running the damn team? I mean, I ask that rhetorically because I think we know the answer.
Yes.
What kind of a response is this from Bryant to ESPN? We don't have time for Howard's shoulder to heal. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know, if I'm a teammate of his and I got a legitimate injury, I'm going to punch him right in the mouth.
Well,
okay?
You know what you would think, though.
What the hell are you to put me, throw me under the bus? We don't have time for Howard's shoulder to heal, he says.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if it was Kobe and he was out with a shoulder injury.
Oh, God forbid anybody say anything. I mean, we'd all be feeling bad for him, wouldn't we?
Yeah. It's Kobe's team. You know, I don't agree with the comments Kobe said. If somebody's legitimately hurt and needs time to heal, they need time to heal. You can't rush him back because what are you going to do? You're going to rush him back, he's going to get hurt worse, and he's going to be out twice as long. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Does anybody truly think that Howard is sitting on the bench milking this?
No.
Does anybody really think that he doesn't want to be out there on the court?
Listen.
And he doesn't realize that there needs to be some urgency? I mean,
seriously, do you get a guy that doesn't want to be conditioned enough to play, is okay with being on the end of the bench, and, you know, i.e., a guy like Eddie Curry? You know, this is a guy that never helped himself throughout his NBA career. So, you know, guys like that, I'm sure they want to play, but they're okay with not playing.
That guy's name is Andrew Bynum. Let's get it straight.
Well, listen, man, Andrew Bynum's got the Tin Man's knees, so.
Well, whatever. I mean, you know, his knees are good enough to go out and bowl, but his knees aren't good enough to be out there on the court, so. But that's for another show and another story.
No bowling and basketball? What are you talking about?
That's another show. We'll bring that up. We've talked about that one already. But no, seriously, I mean, when you make a statement like that, when Kobe Bryant comes out making a statement like that, particularly on a national platform like ESPN, that we don't have time for Howard's shoulder to heal, you know, what you're doing, you're not creating a sense of urgency. It's not like you're going out and patting everybody else on the rump and saying, okay, guys, we're missing Dwight Howard. Come on, let's get it up. Let's really do a good job. All right, that's not the message. The message that Kobe Bryant is sending is Howard, you're a problem. Why don't you just get out of the way and let us see if we can do this one on our own? And see, when you do that, you take an individual who truly wants to be a part of the team,
mm-hmm.
and you make them feel bad. You make them feel like, you know, like they're not worth something.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, the whole thing is just Kobe. I am absolutely of the opinion that the Lakers are not going to be fixed until Kobe Bryant is gone.
Yeah, well, and that's where I was going to call my next comment, is that it's time for the Los Angeles Lakers to rebuild. I mean, pure examples of what's going on this season is that they need to rebuild. They need to dismantle this team, get back to what they know best, and that's winning basketball. And that's going to start by getting rid of guys like Kobe, getting rid of guys like Ron Artest, and getting young again. So talking about that, let's go into last night's game. The Rajon Rondo-less Boston Celtics, once again, Mike, win, and they basically destroyed the Los Angeles Lakers last night, 116-95. Kobe with 27 points. Jody Meeks, Antoine Jameson, both respectively with 13 and 11 off the bench. Starting lineup, 5-5-9-9. Dwight Howard, 9 rebounds, 9 points. Steve Nash, 9 points, 5 assists. There's a lot of other problems here, and it's not Dwight Howard.
No doubt about it.
You can easily say that. At the same time, Boston on a six-game win streak now, Mike.
Yeah.
Without Rajon Rondo in this lineup, I mean, you know, bench players, Jeff Green, you know, Leandro Barbosa, Jason Terry, they're really picking it up. Picking it up big time, and I can't believe that they are now in a six-game win streak without Rajon Rondo. Couldn't believe it.
The Boston Celtics right now are the third hottest team in the entire league. I mean, you know, look at San Antonio with 11 in a row.
11 games, man.
In a row. You got the Denver Nuggets with 8 in a row. How about that?
The Andre Iguodala Denver Nuggets.
You got that one right. Boston with a six-game winning streak, 6-4 in their last 10. You know, we brought it up a little bit, I believe, on Monday, Jonathan, where you were kind of, I don't want to say exclaiming about Boston, but you were bringing it up and going, hey, look at this Boston team. All of a sudden, they're hot.
Yeah.
And boy, they just continued to do that again last night, as you pointed out. And what is this, six games? Is it six games now without Rondo?
Yeah, six-game win streak.
Without Rondo. But all six of those are without him.
Yep.
And you know, both you and I, and again, I bring it up again, when Rondo first went out, you and I both said, stick a fork in Boston. That pretty much ends it for them.
Yeah. It's not. I guess we were wrong.
You know, now the question becomes, and I guess I would throw this question to you. Again, you know, you're the NBA guy. The Celtics win last night without Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an illustration of Celtics being a good team? Or is this just the Lakers being what we've been talking about now for a while, just a really, really not a very good team at all?
No, you know what? Anytime you go near 120 points without your starting point guard, who is one of the best point guards in the league, it's because your players are picking it up and the coaching is doing a damn good job. Doc Rivers is doing a very, very good job in Boston this season.
I was just about to say, when you're winning by 21,
yeah.
I mean, that's not – this isn't a situation where the Lakers – are just a bad team. This is a situation where the Celtics just really came on.
Absolutely. You know what? You got to give a lot of props to Doc Rivers, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, players like Avery Bradley, Courtney Lee, Jeff Green, just about anybody on this team. Jason Terry Lynn. I mean, they're really picking it up. Listen, the Celtics are a better team with Rajon Rondo.
Yep.
But the way that they're playing and picking it up without Rajon Rondo goes to show you that they are a legit team and they have each other's backs. You don't see that in L.A.
Yep.
So
Jason Terry last night off the bench, 15 points. He was a plus 25 on the court.
Yep.
Wow.
Jeff
wow.
Green, plus 21 on the court. So
yep.
Goes to show you a lot. But before we get into a little bit of NHL real quick, I have to ask you, Mike.
Yeah.
Andre Iguodala, 13.5 points per game, 5.4 rebounds per game, 4.6 assists per game.
Yep.
Defense, very good. Man, I love the 76ers fans that told me Iguodala sucks and he needed to go because, man, are they missing him right now.
Well, you know, you and I've had this conversation, and
I like to have it again.
Here's where I stand on it. We're paying $15 million for a guy to sit on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Would I rather have Iguodala than what I've got right now? You're damn straight I would.
Because
right?
Iguodala now, comes to play.
But here's the problem, Jonathan, and we have talked about this a couple of times. Iguodala was not working in the system that we had for some reason or another going here in Philadelphia. It wasn't working. I don't think you would be seeing the kinds of numbers that he's putting up right now with Denver. I don't think you'd be seeing those same types of numbers this year if he were still in Philadelphia.
No, but he definitely would help right now.
Well, anything would be better than what we've got.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I told you from the beginning, what the 76ers did with Iguodala was make him the star of their team. He's not a star player. He is a legit, probably one of the better role players in the league.
Yeah.
In Denver, you got Kenneth Farad, you got Danilo Gallinari, you got JaVale McGee, Andre Miller, Corey Brewer, Wilson Chandler, Quincy Miller, Anthony Randolph. You throw out a bunch of names. He fits in well with that team because he's not the guy that they're looking for to win games. He's not a big-time scorer, but yet he's still scoring almost 14 points per game for Denver.
Right.
Perfect for him because they know how to use him.
Well, I'll tell you a name, though, that and this is going to be right in your wheelhouse. I'll tell you a name that I've been hearing being talked about over talk radio here in Philadelphia over the past 10 days. A lot of lamenting going on over the fact that we don't have Vucevic.
I'm telling you, man. Nikola Vucevic, love it. He's playing great. I mean, Orlando's on a terrible win, loss streak. Not a good team, but he's playing good basketball for them.
Yep, yep. So I know that that's right in your wheelhouse because you've been doing the I told you so stuff. So I just beat you to the punch on that one.
Absolutely. Well, we got a couple of minutes left, so real quick, we're going to bring in Big Joe from the Bronx because I know he's calling it right now. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Hey man, happy birthday, Big John.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that, man.
Hey, man, no problem. First of all, real quick, number one, that interview with Kelly Sinek, great, man. It's nice and refreshing to hear a player speak the way that the words that he spoke, very honest. And honestly, this Fan Junkies Radio, you guys, first time in any radio outlet, media outlet in general, that I've heard a current former player talk the way he talks. So, excellent job with that interview, guys.
Thank you.
Also, last but not least, real quick, JT Miller. Miller time at the Rangers.
Miller time.
I love what I saw last night, and let's just keep it up against Tampa Bay over the weekend.
Absolutely, man. Let me tell you, man, Miller is making it a lot easier for the Rangers to not even look at Brian Boyle anymore, and I'm loving it.
Yep, absolutely.
Loving every bit of it. All right, Joe, man, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much, and you got to try to call in earlier on Monday, man.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for the comments, Joey.
Anytime.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. All right, real quick, Mike, NHL, throw out a little bit of standings here. In the Atlantic, Pittsburgh still up 16 points, 1 point over New Jersey. In the Northeast, Boston up 15 points, 1 point over Ottawa. Southeast, Tampa Bay got a 2-point lead over Carolina. They're in first place there. Out in the West, Chicago still 9-0-2.
They haven't lost a game.
Haven't lost a game in regulation yet. 20 points on the season. Vancouver, 14 points, first in the Northwest.
Four-game winning streak right now for the Canucks.
Yep. Anaheim now tied for first as San Jose Sharks. They finally lost two games. Anaheim 7-1-1, San Jose 7-2-1, both 15 points apiece.
Another four-game winning streak right now going for Anaheim. Frankly, Jonathan, I think that's going to swap up. I think you're going to see San Jose take that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But got a lot of win streaks right now. Anaheim, four games. Vancouver, four games. Chicago, Nashville, 3-4 games. Pittsburgh, 5 games. I mean, we got a lot of nice win streaks right now.
Yeah, you do. Still a little bit of sloppy play going from what I've seen. But you're starting to see things settle down a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Mike, well, that's it for today's show. We just want to thank, once again, former MLB catcher Kelly Stinnett for joining us and just throwing out some fabulous comments that we're going to be pushing out. We're going to try to get some outlets to pick up because that's going to be huge. And as always, go over to KellyStinnettBaseball.com. If you're in Arizona and you got a kid and you want him to play the game of baseball, not only the correct right way, but to play the clean way, get him over by Kelly Stinnett. Let him teach him how to play the game of baseball because that's what Kelly Stinnett does. Class act, fabulous guy.
Yep.
As always, 5 minutes at the Frat House. It'll be up sometime today, Mike.
It's up.
Oh, it's up already. Okay, so great. So go over to FratHouseSports.net. Check out Mike. Check out Sidekick. 5 minutes at the Frat House. Great, great, great video show that will also be replayed here tomorrow at 3 p.m.?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Great stuff. And as always, FanJunkies.net. Sports social networking at 100% free. It's Facebook for sports fans. But we run across probably the older Facebook platform, the one everybody misses.
That's
check
it
out. You got to get over there. We're having some great stuff over there. And that's it for the Friday show. And the birthday boy here, he's going to have himself a drink and eat some lunch now. So
there you go.
There you go. So as always, thank you for listening to Fan Junkies Radio. We're nothing without you. For Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Enjoy your Friday. Stay because Nemo is coming.
Yeah. Stay warm, everybody.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. We'll be right back. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking. Yeah.